Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. My name is Maria Vasquez Boyd and I thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You know, I just have to tell everyone, happy Thanksgiving Eve. I hope you have a terrific tomorrow, you know, with all the turkeys and the food and the family and all that, or whatever you choose to do. So happy Thanksgiving Eve. Today we have in the studio Michael Baxley, Melanie Sherman. We have Christopher Kurtz on the phone, I'm hoping. Jason Bavoni will be here, Sue Edgerton, and Patrick Quinn. As always, we try to accommodate the crazy, chaotic, lovely, beautiful, creative community here in Kansas City. So let's start off with talking to our friend, Michael Baxley, with the Belger Crane Yard Gallery. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Afternoon, but that's okay. You know what? There's so much going on at the Belger Crane Yard Gallery. Tell us currently what's up.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We really wanted to come in and highlight, because it is a really action-packed fall-winter season, and so there's a lot going on, and we'd love to share that with you. So we have three main exhibitions going on, as well as a holiday sale coming up. So lots to talk about, but we wanted to come in and maybe give a little bit more in-depth of the three exhibitions in particular, and then invite folks to come on the first Friday weekend of December for our holiday sale.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, and I did leave out Peregrine Honig, who's not here with us in the studio today, but she also has some work at the Crane Yard Gallery as well.
Yeah, and so to touch on that briefly, it's a really fascinating story, but it involves artist Peregrine Honig, and she went to the Hotel Phillips to escape and to do some drawings. And the hotel was generous enough to give her a room, and she brought her basics, pen and paper, and started drawing and feeling from the energy of the room. And this continued on for about 8 months. And by the time that this period ended, you know, she started thinking about how she was going to display these works. And that's sort of where Belger Crane Yard Studios came into play, is we started a conversation about an exhibition and how we would display this work. So we reached out to the Hotel Phillips and asked if they would want to help us with this. And what we came up with was, what Peregrine came up with, was a replica of the Hotel Phillips built in right into our gallery. Mm-hmm. So if you come into the gallery, you're going to see, you get a key to the room, and you're invited in, and there's a time limit. You can't bring any cell phones, so we have a place for you to lock those up. And you go in and experience a multimedia exhibition. There's a film that was produced with local choreographer Jane Gotch and videographer Jonna Brooks, and she collaborated with these artists to create a film that emulates the drawings. So there's a lot to see, and it all takes place inside of a recreated hotel room. So we want to thank the Phillips for their support of the arts, and we want to encourage everyone to come down and experience this multimedia exhibition.
Yeah, and you know, and that runs for our listeners, that runs through December 19th, and that is at the 2011 Tracy Avenue.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's Kansas City, Missouri. And what is the website?
The website is craneyardstudios.org, and you can see all the exhibition dates and get all the information on our hours. And we're open Wednesday through Saturday. And then, and also by appointment. So we'd love to have folks come down and experience this. Well, you know, December 19th coming up fast, so we'd encourage everyone to hurry down.
Well, and I do want to welcome our guest online, Christopher Kurtz, calling from New York. I believe he's there. Good afternoon, Christopher. Oop, or maybe. Maybe he's not, but at any rate, Christopher Kurtz had a showing of work there, right?
Correct. And so that's another exhibition that we have. So in this industrial space, we have three different shows. And so the way the space is divided up is you can come in and explore and experience different things. So with Peregrine, we have drawings. With Christopher, he does sculpture and furniture design. So this is a very different medium, a very different different body of work. So it's reaching out to, it's reaching in a different touch point for people when we have this large scale, large to medium scale works of sculpture and furniture design.
Well, and I know, I don't know, we may have lost a connection with him. Christopher, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Oh, terrific, terrific. Hi, Christopher. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Your work is quite beautiful. Let's, if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your work that you've exhibited there at Belger Crane Yard Gallery.
Well, thank you. I was raised as, my education was in sculpture and my background is in fine art. At some point in my art making career, I decided to focus on woodworking and hope to gain some sort of real fluency with the material. And I'd always been kind of a furniture geek also, and a student of furniture history and furniture design. So the combination of those two practices coming together was inevitable, I suppose. And this is it's always been sort of difficult for the outside world to accept both practices coming from the same creative author. Mm-hmm. So this has been a really exciting opportunity for me to put the two different kinds of work together, which I've always felt was one sort of logical creative path, but mm-hmm. to be able to put it together and show the narratives and the creative arc of how the sculpture and furniture work together mm-hmm. has been an excellent opportunity in this, you know, the beautiful space there and working with such great people and back in my hometown.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I understand you actually are from Missouri, from Excelsior Springs, and attended the Art Institute, and then you went on to Harvard for the Career Discovery Program in Landscape Architecture at Harvard. For our listeners who want to catch a peek of your work, what is your website that you could share with them?
It's ChristopherKurtz.net, mm-hmm. www.ChristopherKurtz.net.
And Christopher, do you have any plans in the near future to return to Kansas City for additional exhibitions and such?
Well, I'd love to. It's my hometown, as I said. I grew
Absolutely.
Up in the city. My family's still there. I grew up in Excelsior Springs outside of the city. Went to the Art Institute, and I've been living in the Northeast for the last 20 years, but I still identify as a Kansas City boy. So any opportunity to come back home and to be able to be a part of the incredible arts community there is I just welcome any opportunity to do that. So that's where, you know, connecting with Michael Baxley and working with Belger Crane Yard Gallery has just been the opportunity I've sort of been looking for to be able to come back and show a 10-year history of what I've been doing for the last 10 years. In this exhibition, there's a few key pieces from different series going back to 2003, actually, or 2004.
Beautiful.
So it's just been kind of a really kind of a poignant and poetic return for me to be able to come home after living away for so long and
yeah.
do something with such a thoughtful presentation.
Well, terrific. We look forward to you coming back to Kansas City. Don't go away. I'm going to shift gears here, and I'm going to introduce Melanie Sherman, who also has work at the Belger Crane Yard Gallery. Her work is porcelain, and it's lavishly glazed, painted with elaborate patterning, and embellished with gold. And the lustrous surfaces combine traditional China paint techniques with modern imagery. Welcome, Melanie. Welcome to the station.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very good. So your background is in graphic design?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how did you get from graphic design to ceramics?
Well, I went to Denver, and I saw somebody throwing a vase, and I looked at him throwing the vase, and I said, that's what I want to do, and I pursued my career in ceramics after
wow,
that.
Wow, wow. It's sort of a tough medium, I think, because there's so... It's much more, disciplined, I suppose.
Right. You have a lot of technical difficulties that you
Absolutely.
Have to overcome, and you have to have a basic knowledge of the materials and the technique. So there's a lot of learning, but once you once you're in it, I think the clay bug.
yeah. I've seen a lot of friends that bites them, and that's all they can think. Now, your work currently opens has just recently opened November 24th through January 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what will our listeners see when they go into the gallery? What is the work sort of based on? What inspired you to create the work?
So I was fortunate enough to go to China, Japan, and my home country of Germany last year, and to explore a little bit more about the history of porcelain and how it ended up coming to Germany from China and Japan. So I went to this right to the source. I went to the ancient porcelain cities of Arita in Japan and Jingdezhen in China. And I got to work for 6 weeks with the craftsmen in Jingdezhen, China, to produce the pieces that you see. When I was in Japan, in Arita, I got to collect different patterns and imagery, and that's what you will see on these pieces that you're going to see there.
And I want to remind listeners that it's the Belgian Arts Center at 2011 Tracy Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. Website?
Yeah, craneyardstudios.org. And actually, we have two locations. So the Belger Art Center is at 2100 Walnut, and we have exhibitions up currently there. Mm-hmm. And then we have the three exhibitions that we're highlighting today at the Belger Craneyard Studios at 2011 Tracy Avenue. And all that information can be found at craneyardstudios.org. And again, we're we've got drawing, multimedia, video, ceramics, wood sculpture, and then our holiday sales. So there's just something for everyone, and we really want you folks to come down and experience this.
So with the holiday sale, it's local artists, or do you have a bevy of artists that you pool from?
So with the holiday sale, that's the artists that are working in the building, including our residents. Mm-hmm. So we have an art residency program that draws in artists from all over the different parts of the United States. And so they've come in, they're doing a residency, and it's a chance for them to share their work as well.
Yeah.
We have about 60 studio members, so just a little over 60, and then a group of residents, so it's a lot of artists in one building. So if you haven't been down, you definitely want to come down and experience it.
Absolutely, and I may want to mention, too, that you also offer classes, right?
We do,
So all that information will be on the website. So, Melanie, do you have any last words that you want to impart to our listeners?
Sure. If you want to take a closer look, go to Belger Craneyard Gallery. You can also find me online at www.melaniesherman.com. And I'm so happy to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, absolutely. Do come back. As I mentioned, I try to accommodate this creative community, and so sometimes it feels like it's just a little snippet, but, 15 minutes goes by really quickly. And, Christopher, are you still with us?
I am.
Do you have any last words or is something that you might want to mention to our listeners, upcoming events or that?
Well, the exhibition is up for a good period of time through January, so there's plenty of time to come and see that, and there's a lot coming up. But I'm too much to mention on the phone, but I'm a big fan of the station. I love listening to it, so it's really fun to be on.
And I just want to jump in and say, here's a real fast, Christopher, being from Excelsior Springs, Kansas City Art Institute grad, we moved to New York, and here's a real success story. So let's come down and support Christopher and see what he's been doing in New York for the past 15 years. I mean, this is a really great chance for us to show our support of an artist that's moved and made a real career of himself.
Well, because everyone in this room, as we all know, it's a difficult life. It's a terrific choice, but it's a very difficult life to sort of, make a living, with art, something that you feel really passionate about. So congratulations to all of you that are showing your work. Thank you all so much for coming
in.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio. And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm your host every Wednesday from noon to 1 o'clock. And you were just listening to a terrific CD. I think it's called The Avenue. It's by the Billy Bats. It just was recently released November 2nd on my birthday. What a gift. And in the studio now, we have the delightful and talented Jason Bavoni.
I'm looking around the room.
Listen to you, you raggedy.
Can't be me. Is it you guys?
You're too funny. You know, I love this CD.
Thank you, Marie.
Jason. You know, and tell our listeners what sort of inspired you on this particular new release.
Yeah, well, it's the Avenue refers to Independence Avenue here in Kansas City, Missouri. I met a friend for lunch down there, and we started talking and kind of compared a bunch of stories. When I first moved here to Kansas City, gosh, about 16, 17 years ago, that, you know, we found these beautiful homes down there, these old Victorian homes, and we didn't know why it was so inexpensive. And so we moved in, and it was kind of a rough neighborhood. And, you know, later we found out there was a serial killer on the streets, and you know, there were old retired mobsters across the street, and
but it has character. I mean, the Northeast has character,
and
right?
Best Mexican food,
aside from my house.
You know, aside from your house. And it was a crazy time. It was a crazy neighborhood, and we just compared stories all day. So then, when it was when we started, you know, when it's time to write songs again, it seems that whatever last conversations you've had seem to kind of enter into the, you know, into the stream of where you start writing from.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I want to back up a little bit more, because the Billy Bats, you first began in November of 2006, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yes, it's almost 10 years.
Next year will be 10 years. Yeah.
Band members.
Yeah, and we've had an evolving line. We started off as a two-piece. It was just me and a drummer. And we've grown. Currently, it's me, it's Paula Crawford, Rick MacGyver, and Matt Bustamante on drums.
Yeah.
We're pared down. We're not as big as we used to be, and we'll probably grow again come summertime for all the festival shows. But right now,
happens. Well, you know, and I do want to mention that, you know, you have been around almost 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? There's so many accolades that you have received. You're the winner of the 2010 Kansas City IBC Solo Duo. Jason Bavoni, the winner of the 2011 Missouri King of the Roots.
King of the Roots.
Winner of the 2012 Ballard B3 Battle of the Bands.
That's right.
And 2012, the winner of the Kansas City IBC Band.
Uh-huh.
And 2013, the winner of the KC Cassie Honors Guitarist of the Year.
For Cigar Box.
For you, you know, so congratulations.
Then we won the IBC again here for Kansas City this fall, which means we'll be competing in Memphis again in January.
So, wow, rightly deserved.
It's been nice.
Now, even though you've all been together relatively a short time, I mean, a decade is fairly short in the scheme of things. You've released in 2012, I Hear a Heartbeat.
Right.
And last year, Eddie Ate Dynamite.
Eddie.
And this year, The Avenue.
Right. And we have a CD from way back that's just the duo. And a lot of the songs we still do live. And what we were thinking about for the 10 years, remixing and remastering those and bringing those again. Some of the ones where we didn't distribute quite so much. Actually, that one got more distribution in Europe than here in our own town. Isn't that weird?
I love that.
We got all these great write-ups and these British rags. And, you know, and then Kansas City doesn't mean nothing. But you got to get going on that one again.
But, you know, it doesn't make you sort of wonder, you know. I love that.
And then we're big in Croatia. That's always our big... We get more online sales from Croatia than anywhere else.
Terrific.
I have no idea why. Just something,
I can tell our listeners that you have a release party that's coming up for The Avenue, Friday, December 4th at Coda. And that's a great place, a great venue to listen to live music.
We've been doing First Fridays there for several years now. And get there early, get a seat.
Yeah, you have to.
Get a meal, 1744 Broadway. And then we'll be there from 9 to close, and we'll be playing songs from the new CD, songs from the past. And we've got a couple surprise guests. Our fingers are crossed. We hope they're going to come through. It's not Bill Murray. Okay.
I'll bring my ukulele just in case.
So you know, right?
But, you know, if people are listening, tuned in right now, you may recognize this voice, this Jason Bavoni, who's sitting across from me, who actually is a programmer, engineer, and producer of Boogie Bridge here on KKFI Thursdays.
Yeah, so I guess, a year and a half I've been doing that now, something like that?
Yeah. It's a tough gig, but it's a good one.
I've enjoyed it. It's great to play stuff from my record collection and stuff with my own individual obsessions and to bring them in every Thursday from 3 to 6 and then play them. But also it's helped me out quite a bit. Interestingly enough, for this CD, when folks call in and say, you know, I first heard that song on the jukebox at so-and-so here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it really has kind of fed me sonically, I think, too, for just the arrangements of the songs, for the others, to just be listening to music all the time, be looking at how does this fit, does this work with this, what's that arrangement, what's those instrumentations. You know, I was a DJ before in you know.
Award-winning, I might add, too.
I won some awards at adult contemporary stations and smooth jazz stations, but I was never a programmer before. Mm-hmm. I never got to pick my own material. And so it's a lot like staring at your record collection every day.
Yeah, but you know, you do play some really beautiful songs that are so obscure. It's like,
And then,
you know, if I'm in the car and I can't write down, you know, the artist, of course, I can always go back and look at your song list, but I also have the Shazam that I, you can.
Oh my gosh, don't you love that? How did we live without that?
You know, I tell you.
And the SoundHound?
It's all good because
how did we exist without that?
Because you know, with you playing this music,
right?
It's I think introduced a lot of other people to this genre or to this particular artist.
Well, and
so thank you.
And I'm so proud. I mean, we're blessed to live in the digital era.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the same artists, but since we have the digital era, you can go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
You can do internet library alone. If you look long enough, you can find anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to collectors' forums. You can find... There was this Ike and Tina Turner single I was looking for, and I couldn't find it anywhere digitally.
Hmm.
I put the call out. A guy answered, and then I had it an hour later for my show.
Wow.
I'd been looking for it for 6 months.
I'll be darned.
So in this digital era, nothing is dead. It may be harder to find.
See, I've got to talk to you about that. My father had a huge collection of Duke Ellington music, and there was a violinist, and it's not Stefan Grappelli or anybody else, but it was a song, It's a Caravan.
Yeah.
Look at him writing it down.
No.
Put the line
I'm ready because I'm not going to remember, right, that
course,
we talked about this.
Of course, my dad's gone, but I need to find out.
It was Duke's band?
Yeah.
Okay, violinist with Duke's band. Okay.
But, you know, talking about that, some of your influences, you have a really diverse group of artists that you've been influenced
by. Well, you know, of course, it's easy to point to the blues guys and the slide guitar guys, but... You know, a lot of the church, the gospel vocalists mean a lot to me. And and of course, you know, I was a white kid in the burbs playing guitar. I got an operation. I went away. So, you know, of course, the Beatles and Stones and classic rock is all mixed up in that somewhere, too. But, you know, this sounds maudlin, forgive me, but the biggest influence was just always my grandmother. She was always playing. She had great stories. She was this whole musician who just brought it around the house. Sit down at the piano, could play things by ear, you know. So that's really who I got everything from.
Wow.
I can talk to you about Hubert Sumlin and all these guys with Howlin' Wolf who were great to me. But day in, day out, you know, my grandma's like, no, your ring finger, there in the second fret, you know.
Do you feel in a way that you were sort of in a different sort of time warp? Because, listening to that kind of music and versus at the time, probably, you're a lot younger than me.
Right.
Maybe some of the Beatles and grunge band and that sort of stuff.
Well, right. And you know, but I was lucky to be a teenager when I was in the 80s. That there were still some of these around. There was still, I can see the building right now. There was still the Grand Emporium back here.
Where
you could go in and John Lee Hooker would play an hour and 45 minutes set by himself. I still got to see that. I still got to shake hands with, you know, Johnny Shines and Robert Lockwood and talk to some of these real old timers who had played with Robert Johnson. I am so blessed to have had that experience as a teenager. And then I look at teens now that are into the blues. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. All you have is me.
You're too funny. You know what? And that. You know, that's just an incredible memory, an incredible experience, you know, to know, you know, people. You're right, just right over
you know,
in the back of my shoulder.
And as a young man, I was looking for a father figure. I was playing music. Mm. I was really frustrated. You know, my dad wasn't anywhere around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These old black blues guys just had a sense of humor about me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they'd sit down, they'd tell me stories, they'd try to sneak me beer and sneak me cigarettes or, you know, whatever. But they were just open to just talk to me. And I mean, conversations go in both ways. I don't know why that happened, but I'm blessed that it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and we're blessed to have you here as part of the KKFI.
Oh, good segue,
you know.
And a compliment. Both.
No,
double header. Here's a segue and a compliment.
And it was even great having you in my house playing live.
Oh,
you know,
so
I
much
think
fun.
Was that for the
too long ago.
Band auction or something?
We may just show up at your house one day and just do that again.
It's because of the food, you know. But at any rate,
that's a musician for you.
I know. I love that. I want to remind listeners, The Avenue, the new CD release by the Billy Bat. Mm-hmm. Will be Friday, December 4th at CODA.
Right.
And for more information, billybats.com.
That's great. Or you can always, since I'm here at the station, too, kkfi.org.
Yeah. So tune in tomorrow from 3 to 6 on 90.1 FM, mm-hmm. The Boogie Bridge.
That's right.
We love you, Jason.
We love you, Maria. Happy turkey.
Well, same to you, my friend. You take care, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio. And you're tuned in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. Next up, we have from all the way from Topeka, we have Sue Edgerton, poet, writer, and cheerleader of other poets and writers. And she's here in the studio to talk with us about everything that's happening in Topeka. Welcome, Sue.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, so... You, I should mention, are one of the founding members, along with Annette Billings, of the Speakeasy Poets in Topeka. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, Speakeasy came out of a coffee date with Annette Billings when I moved back to the Topeka Lawrence area from Wichita about 5 years ago, and just I had been involved with the poetic community in Wichita, couldn't find anything back in this area, and decided, well, if I can't find an open mic or a poetic group or community in this area, then I will start one. But being shy and introverted, I knew I needed some strength, so I contacted Annette Billings, and we got our heads together and came up with a name and came up with a place and a time, and so we started a regular monthly open mic on the first Tuesday of every month in Topeka. It's Skivvy's Bar and Grill, 921 South Kansas Avenue, and started that in September of 2013, and it has been just building ever since. And
I've noticed on Facebook because you know, there's so many pictures that are posted on Facebook of different poets, and they're not all just from Topeka, but they're from Kansas City and beyond. So.
Exactly, and part of getting involved with Speakeasy Poets, I also found out that there is so much going on all over the state, and so I started a Facebook page called Kansas Open Mic Poetry Network and Spoken Word Radar, and on that we just kind of dump. The events and everything I can find going on in Topeka, Lawrence, Salina, Wichita, Kansas City, and there's just so that others who are out there looking for something in their area don't come up against the same brick walls and lack of information.
Well, I love that, that, you know, you saw that there was a need for this organization, well, not organization, for poets to really express themselves. So I'm glad that you formed this along with our friend Annette Billings. Please introduce the person next to you that's here.
I don't know if she'll want me to, but I brought my daughter with me today for the drive down to Kansas City. She's staying with me for Thanksgiving, and she lives in Wichita, so we spend as much time together as we possibly can. And so this is Phoebe.
Phoebe, welcome, Phoebe. Say hello.
Hi.
Well, you know, I love having a live studio audience here, so just wanted to hear to say hello. Now, did you bring some work for us to listen?
I do.
To share with our listeners, I should say.
I would love to share a poem.
Terrific.
Because that's what I like to do. I grew up in, I've lived all over the state of Kansas, but I grew up outside of Topeka in a town called Eskridge. And the title of this one is called Interstate. There you go again, pointing fingers at a map of Kansas with its north side and its south side run through by Interstate number 70, the highway to boredom. Go west and it's driving and diving, tollessly paved and narrow between the capital of right taxes, swinging bent traditions, and the little apple of impossible parking lots and crows. West through cities of war junctions, of spacemen, of general past and present suns, there are hills etched out by glaciers and long erosion, a primeval seabed filled with fossils and fault lines. It cuts through 40-foot walls of solid limestone and flint, exposing ghosts of natives and rail hammering foreign sons and settlers who never got through. With arrowheads buried and pointing to ghosts of buffalo, mass gunpowder to mass extinction by arrogant hands, our true grit. Destiny manifesting hills of unnecessary bones. Here are wildflowers and flower suns painting shamans still entwined in holy drops of groundwater, recycling, painting rain dancers and warriors for the freedom of cultures ransacked by the freedom of other cultures. Muscling through haystacked fields, baled rectangles, rounding, combined by summer high school hands, long sleeves in the hot sun, covering the rattlesnake of the strength of young arms. I-70 is shooting by serial killer truck stops and gentle hikers thumbing misunderstandings and traveling still. It reaches west to the very end of statehood blooming in the transit laws of interstates, pushing a nation to grow more civil with just liberties supremely planted between barbed wire. Lines are meant to be crossed. I-70 collects its tolls east, from the seat of both crafty liars and great crafters, nurturing equality unseparating. Brown v. the snacking board, and brown v. slaveholders, wild-bearded or black or bravely underground, wailing freedom. East skirts the chosen burrow of burrows, its satisfying beat. East through treed hills, river jazz-bound and stippled and bleeding, bleached sycamores, we are cruising towards fountains, spewing city lights sprawling. Some lines pour into the flow of the watery river of time, because this lazy road stretches through my own history like a runway gathering speed between the smell of the earth and the huge sky, blue with galaxies visible to naked eyes in the canvas of darkness or lost in the cold reflection of covering snow, whitening to day bright night like lightning. I have been watching ominous clouds through ominous soul-crushing moods and sunset highs. I have been pelted and spun and stranded and found. I have heard the song of the dusty open window windstorm and heard tall tales of my parents' young, loose adventures and tales of their young parents running bootleg cigarettes to buy scholarship and printer's ink. I have heard familiar voices singing folk songs, unfussing the backseat sibling air, measured time and miles and 99 bottles of beer on the wall. I have been brought home late to be carried in and covered with a goodnight kiss. I have come home late and boozy with reckless adolescence, dodging the spirits of deer and smaller kills, car flung, scattered, learning the anatomy of the likelihood of accidental death. This is where I sped on two tires, testing the horsepower of fear overcome. This is where I ran late for work and found relief from my mess-ups in the acceptance of the inevitable length of a road that worry will not shorten. Breathing in the acceptance of certain potholes. This stretch gave me my on the road and my tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. I have crept at a petty pace through beauty because it is beauty. My wheels turn on I-70. This is where I learn to drive, and it pours me home again and again, and it has not been boring, and I have not been bored.
Wow. Beautiful. Wow, really. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You know, to your listeners, I want to say that the Speakeasy Poets can be found on a group page on Facebook. Yes?
Correct.
And again, the open mic is the first Tuesday of every month, so you'll be having one coming up pretty soon.
December 1st.
Yeah. Gosh, can you believe that?
I know.
It just goes by so quickly. Well, and, you know, I do want to ask you if you have any last words that you want to say to folks. I know we're kind of winding down here.
Exactly.
But, any last words up?
No, I just want to invite everybody in the Topeka area and or beyond. We've had people come out to Topeka. We've had Topeka poets go to places. Road trips for poetry is fun.
Absolutely.
Grab your friends, grab your notebooks, cell phones, and
surround yourself with words.
And come out and find other poets in Kansas. It's great.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sue, and thank you, Phoebe, for coming and sharing your time with us today on ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and up next we have the wonderfully talented and dynamic Patrick Quinn.
Thank you.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. I know last time you did talk about your latest work and your CD release that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell our listeners when that will take place.
That is this Saturday, the 28th, at the Brick. It's over off of McGee and 18th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The very talented Mikhail Shapiro, she's one of your own here.
She is.
She will be opening up that show.
Uh-huh.
And then my younger brother, Samuel Quinn, he'll be playing a few songs. It'll be his debut playing live. And then I'll go on and play for the rest of the evening, starting around 10,
mm-hmm.
some songs off the album, and then just whatever else. I have an art show up at the Brick as well, so it'll be kind of the closing show for that as well.
Like I said, dynamic. I mean, you're very, very talented musically and artistically.
Oh, thank you.
You know, last time you were here, we had a couple of artists on that just really fell in love with your music, and you're going to perform live for us today, right?
Yeah, of course.
What are we going to hear?
I have a couple of songs I'm going to play probably from the album.
Okay.
Which would make a lot of sense to do that.
And then the album is new ones as well.
The album is called The Desired Melancholia.
Very good.
And it's it was a group effort for sure, but we've got, I think, an 8 song release mm-hmm. on that, and then eventually, you know, we'll do a bigger compilation of more work and more songs on the album.
We love it.
Yeah. Let me play. This is actually an older song.
Okay.
It's probably the oldest song on the album, but it's called The Going Rate. Well, the picture frames are out of space. Gonna head on down to the drag race. I get so drunk I can't tell where I am anymore. And you see yourself as a magic creature, unaware of all your features. And the going rate just ain't what it was anymore. But
Every day's the same as the last one. Oh yeah, every day's the same as the last one. Well, every day you claim that they're all the same, but I know you're never quitting up. Yeah, people gotta waste your time, and I know you're never stopping up. Yeah, the going rate is still too high. Black and white, you lost your sight. Gonna bring a knife to a fierce fight. Self-defense, if you're on the fence anymore. And the mamas and the papas, the boys and the girls. Well, it don't even matter, everybody's got curls. I don't see what all the fuss is about anymore. No, I don't. Oh, but every day you say it's the last one. Oh yeah, every day's the same as the last one. Well, every day you claim that they're all the same, but I know you're never quitting up. People gotta waste your time, and I know it never stops, no. Yeah, the going rate is still too high.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Patrick. You know, so you said that's from an older, it's an older tune?
It's an older tune, yeah. I had a band for a while, kind of like right out of high school. I went and did a little bit of traveling, and then when I got back from doing that, I got into the idea that, you know, I could play with other people, and also, like, not just in people's living rooms and basements. You know, I could go around and play coffee shops and things like that. So we had a band for a while, and that was probably close to the tail end of that band that I wrote that song, but... Yeah.
Well, and for our listeners, to get in contact with Patrick Quinn... they can look at patrickquinnmusic.com.
The Facebook page is a good way to contact, and also to see kind of like snippets of new releases, as well as, you know, like videos, pictures, show updates, things like that.
Would you perform another song for us?
Yeah, this is a newer one. It is not on the album, but I like it. All the new songs I write, it's like one of those joyous things where you create something new that you like, and you're like, I want to play this.
We'll be happy to hear it.
This one's called Do Anything for Love.
Well, I met a man on a boat. He was working as a waiter. Yes, his eyes were full of hope, and his words meant to inspire. He said, do anything for love. You should do anything for love. Oh, God sent a girl to my mind from above. So do anything for love. But I don't know, is it worth it? 'Cause I saw a girl I know. She was a picture of downtrodden. Yes, her heart was broke for show, and no romance was long forgotten. She said, don't do anything for love. Don't you do anything for love, 'cause he lies like a snake when he looks like a dove. Don't you do anything for love. I don't know, I'm not that jaded. Breathing fumes out my window. His words, they spoke a loss and decisions made in anger. He said, I'd do anything for love. Yeah, I'd do anything for love. Well, I'd put down the bottle and I'd make her the one. Yes, I'd do anything for love. Despite the booze, well, I believe him. And I saw my big-eyed girl. She was standing there with a grinning smile. Well, she made a sign to her heart with a point and a whisper. Well, you know I'd do anything for her. Yeah, I'd do anything for her. Oh, I'd do anything, yeah, I'd do anything. I'd give her my money and I'd give her my time. I'd give her all my loving and I'd give her my life. I guess I'd do anything for love. Yeah, anything for little love. Anything for little, anything for little love.
Patrick, that's just really lovely. I mean, it really is. I know that again. When the last time that you came on the show, that you know, people just close their eyes and you just sort of transported them to someplace else. The people that were in the live studio audience. So you know, I do want to mention again to listeners that your CD release party will be Saturday. This Saturday.
Yep. This Saturday.
At the Brick, which is just off of McGee, and. The Desired Melancholy is your new CD release. Do you have a real quick one for us, or is there something else that you want to mention?
Yeah, I have one more song that I could probably do in the time. Okay. yeah, I mean, it's going to be just a good time with a lot of people coming down to view some art and listen to some good music, you know, and it's going to be a lot of people that, you know, I've met or I know, maybe hopefully strangers as well, but I hope that everyone can just be in the place together and enjoy the music and really just, you know, have a nice time, because that's really what it's all about. Is like, you know, you can enjoy this music and have this atmosphere that you want to be there.
Absolutely.
So that's what it is.
Thank you, Peter, for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Do you have time for maybe like two more minutes?
Two more minutes.
Maybe.
Do it.
People you don't want to see, places you don't want to be, but it would mean a lot to me if you come to my shows. 'Cause all my thoughts are question marks, painting pictures in the dark, and with my luck and choices, never know how it'll go. But I'm so excited. Oh yeah, in spite of it all, I'm delighted. Oh, I can barely control my mind. Do 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 do. Do 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 dum dum oh yeah. I'll play the poker hand I'm dealt. try my best to bluff it out. But poker face don't matter. In the end, nobody wins. It's just that message to the universe. If the internet don't take it first, well, to my friends and loved ones, thinking of you till the end. 'Cause I'm excited, in spite of it all, I'm delighted. Oh, I can barely control my mind. Sing do 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 do.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, my friend. Patrick Quinn.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, kid. And now that you've met Mark Manning, open more doors for you that way.
Yeah, maybe some Wednesday I'll be in here hanging out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, excellent.
I also want to thank our guests, Michael Baxley, Melanie Sherman, Christopher Kurtz, Jason Bavoni, Sue Edgerton, and, of course, Patrick Quinn. Next week, December, we're in December, folks. December 2nd, we'll have the Kent City Art Institute illustration students on. That will be Kelly Sparrow, Madison Crabtree, Katya Heisel, Ethan Tucker, and we also have members of the Kent City Storytellers that will join us. Stay tuned at 1 o'clock for Jeff Harshbarger with Afternoon Jazz. 3 o'clock, Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. 6 o'clock, All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. Then at 9 o'clock, Classical Challenge. Have a terrific Turkey Day tomorrow, and honey, I'm coming home.